Title of the message is, Whose Voice Are You Hearing? And I'm just going to quickly run over a few things, a few points from Sunday. But many people believe that the gospel is coming to church and getting what I want. And much of our Christianity has, especially in America, is centered and focused on meeting needs. Now, God knows that we have needs, and God does want to take care of our needs. So it's not that he doesn't care. But we often, again, we get the conflict between our need and the will of God, which is always first in our lives. Kind of like the need to sleep and the will of God to get up and go to church, you know? We all struggle with that part of us. There's one part of us that's fighting, you know, that's resisting the Spirit. And so there is a battle in our flesh, as you know. We need to know who's speaking to us, what voice it is. We need to know God's voice. We need to be able to distinguish His voice from the multitude of voices that we're hearing around us. Especially today, I think there's more voices speaking in my ear now than I can ever remember. Does anybody feel like that? It's like there is an increase in the demonic activity around us today. And so we really got to be vigilant, because even people who you thought were very strong in the Lord have fallen away and gone not just a little ways, but deep into the world. And it's possible to happen to any one of us here. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with God. We have to live in vigilance. We have to, as Jesus said, be watchful. Stay awake spiritually. Don't allow the devil to lull you to sleep by listening to that compromising voice that tells you it's not all that important for you to be in fellowship. It's not all that important for you to abide in the Word of God. Amen. It's not all that important for you to pray. And some people, they depend on everybody else to hold them up and to keep them. Amen. And to, how many know what I'm talking about? You got some people who they never learn how to walk on their own. They're constantly depending on someone else to put that bottle in their mouth. Amen. There's a time, there's a season when we need to mentor and we need to, really give extra attention to a child. But then there comes a time when it's like, okay, Johnny, it's time for you to get out of the crib. It's time for you to start to walk. You know, it's time for you to put away the bottle and start eating solid food. It's time for you to grow up. God wants His people to grow up. And sometimes it's easier for us to stay as babes, because a babe doesn't have the responsibility an adult does. And so often we want to avoid responsibility, so we keep ourselves in a place of dependency, codependency often, where we'll let them have the headache. We'll let them deal with it. We'll let them handle my problems for me. We'll let them feed me. We'll let them clothe me. Are you with me? We'll depend on someone else other than God. God wants His children to learn how to depend on Him. Adulthood in the faith is learning how to hear and obey God's voice. It's not enough even to hear it. It's to also be able to do of His good pleasure. An adult knows that he has to get out of bed in the morning to go to work. I don't feel like it today. Well, you just lost your job because you didn't feel like going to work. But you need to live by the principle that if I don't go to work, there are consequences for not doing that. Spiritually, it's the same, folks. We cannot allow ourselves to be slothful. We have to be vigilant. We have to be in tune with the Spirit of God day by day. We need to be listening for the voice of God, because it's the voice of truth that will save you. It's the voice of truth that will protect you. It's the voice of truth that will keep you free from infestation from the enemy. And so the other voice is constantly trying to distract us and to get us to put our attention, our focus on ourselves. Are you with me? So much of our life revolves around ourselves, me, My wants, my dreams, my goals, my desires. And you have enough people out there prophesying flatteries over people just like that, that are not helping them, but it's actually driving them deeper into that delusion. Because instead of telling them, listen, you need to seek God for yourself. You need to hear His voice and quit running around here and there trying to get a word from somebody, because you don't want to take the time to get to know Him. Because you're not going to be able to ride the coattails of someone else through the pearly gates. Are you with me? You need to know Jesus for yourself. So often, you know, it's true. Our lives are centered on how we can be happy. Now, the Lord does promise that if we, you know, if we're faithful to Him, you know, if we're poor in spirit, you know, if we are peacemakers, there are blessings. There's happiness that comes through obedience. Would you agree? It doesn't mean that obedience always feels good, but there is a joy and a happiness that is produced through obedience to the Spirit. And often we allow the feeling of happiness to dictate whether we're going to obey or not. If I'm in a good mood, the sun's out, it's shining, well, I'll make my way to church, or I'll be good today, or, you know, but if it's raining, it's like, well, forget it. So often we're motivated by feelings and not by truth. And sometimes the truth means that you're going to suffer. Sometimes being obedient will bring trouble. But guess what? As long as we're in this world, you're going to have trouble. Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble, tribulation. Okay, now hear it. So I would rather have trouble for doing good. Following Jesus, amen? Than being a knucklehead. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And so this is the thing. Come on, we've all been there. We were so convinced that we were right and it has to be my way. I think we're having a little problem with that right now in Washington. Everybody's right in their own eyes. And you know what? It's the blame game. It's the Republicans. It's the Democrats. Stop blaming someone for your problem. Okay, let's grow up here, okay, and let's acknowledge that we have a problem. Let's do something about it. Let's quit pointing the finger and say, it's your fault that I have this problem. It doesn't matter who caused the problem. It's we have a problem, let's do something about it. Let's quit belly aching about it. Let's quit cursing the darkness. Let's start being the light. You know, none of us are valid judges of our own lives. We think we are. But really, it's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Word of God that turns the light on inside us and causes us to really see what the real deal is. And as we begin to backslide, if we're falling away, it's that delusional thing that happens, isn't it? Where all of a sudden we're thinking we're doing okay. And we're sometimes the last person to realize that we're not. And thank God for brothers and sisters who care enough that are going to pray for us. Amen? That are going to reach out to us. But also be mindful as to what God is saying. Because sometimes God is saying, I want you to allow them to go because the only way they're going to learn is to go through this difficulty brought on by their own rebellion. The father of the prodigal son allowed him to go. He didn't stop him. He wanted to go. He was bent on going his way, so he let him go. Now, we know that Jesus told us that there's going to be a price that we have to pay to be his disciple. Would you agree? How many here are willing to pay the price? Amen. And we must be willing to listen to God's voice over every other voice. Jesus made it clear. It's not going to be necessarily what we think it's going to be too. How many would agree with me that Jesus' life was not easy? Jesus' life was not always pleasant. But how many believe that Jesus had joy? The Bible says that God in Hebrews anointed Jesus with the oil of joy above all his brethren. So Jesus was not a gloomy dude, okay? He is joyful. But yet he had the most difficult life of anyone, especially near the end there, as you know. But he didn't come with his agenda. He didn't come with his own ideas. He had to lay all of that aside as a human being because he came in the likeness of a human being. So he was actually 100% man, 100% God, but he came in the likeness of a human being and he laid aside everything that he thought was right and good that he might obey the voice of his Father. And aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't motivated by his feelings? If Jesus was motivated by his feelings, folks, we'd all be lost. We'd be without hope in the world, wouldn't we? And in eternity. But Jesus wasn't that way. He walked in obedience to the Father. He walked in love. In John 10:27, most of us are familiar with this. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life, verse 28. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, if you are in Christ tonight, we're able to hear his voice. Ah, how come God's not talking to me? If you're in Christ, you are able to hear his voice. 1 Corinthians 2:16, the latter end of that verse says that we have been given the mind of Christ that we may know what's freely given to us. God has given us his mind. In other words, you know and you're knower. How many know what I'm talking about? You know when you're knower. It's like there's certain things you want to do, and then there's that part of you is saying, don't do it. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. It's not some little angel on your shoulder. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will take of mine and reveal it to you, Jesus said. Of the things that I taught you, he'll bring to your remembrance. So that, you know, we'll have a guide with us for the rest of our time. He'll never leave us, he said. He'll be with you forever. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So we have the ability in Christ to hear his voice. And the question is this, is whose voice are we hearing again amidst all the other voices? We have to be able to distinguish God's voice. Now, how many would agree with me that by studying this word, you'll begin to understand God? Amen? A little better. You'll begin to distinguish his voice because you've been spending time listening. Amen? And reading and studying and meditating on his words. So that's why it's important. And because the Holy Spirit most often will bring to your remembrance something that you had put on the hard drive from the word. You're just like a computer, aren't we? You got to get it on the hard drive. Amen. By reading and meditating. And then God brings it to your remembrance. He brings it to the screen. And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, we need to be careful not to rely on others to hear the voice of God for us. You know, that happens too often, doesn't it? We run over here, we run over there, we're looking for a word. You have people come up after meetings and say, do you have a word for me? I want a word. You just hand them the Bible and say, here's one right here for you. The thing is this, is that God does speak and he does give us words and he'll give us words of knowledge. He may give us a prophetic word for someone. But the thing is that people are not learning the voice of God for themselves. So they look for someone else to speak to them. And because they don't know the voice of God for themselves, because they haven't cultivated a relationship where they're beginning to hear and understand the voice of God that is distinguished from every other voice, how are they going to know if that's a word from the Lord in the first place? And you have a lot of people shipwrecked because they followed some prophet who told them to do this and this and this. And basically this prophet has just found a pawn that they can control and manipulate and do their bidding for them. Come on. They become their toady. And often these so-called people that are calling themselves prophets are puffed up in their own minds. It's a pride thing. Well, I'm prophet so-and-so. Be careful about anybody that comes right out and calls themselves a prophet. Or an apostle or anything. Start putting labels on themselves because sometimes there's an agenda with that name. Some people use that reverend, you know, for a political platform. They ain't no reverend, but they got reverend in front of their name. It gives them that platform, you know, who people respect because, oh, he's a man of the cloth. You know what? Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They loved, you know, to be called rabbi, teacher, teacher. They loved titles and important places and to be, you know, enamored with and it just, you know, people just doting on them and talking about how good they are. And some people, unfortunately, insecure people will derive, you know, their validity from what others tell them about themselves. How many know that you can very easily get messed up that way? Because God wants to validate us. God wants us to hear his voice. And you know what he's telling his children? You're mine. You're my sons. You're my daughters. I love you. I'm pleased with you. We don't have to hear that, you know, from somebody else. We need to hear from God ourselves. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. If we just somehow get a hold of those little kiddie songs, you know, they taught us a lot, didn't they? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Little mouth, what you say. Little feet, where you go. You know, it's no different as adults, is it? It's the same thing. We got to guard ourselves. And when we are able to distinguish God's voice because we have a relationship with him, because we worship him, because we abide in him, amen, then when someone speaks a word into your spirit, you're going to know, because what it's going to do is going to shed light on something that God has already put there. To me, a prophetic word, a true prophetic word, is like breathing or blowing upon an ember. There's an ember there. When the true prophetic word comes, it's whoosh, and it lights up. And it's like it brings clarity. It brings, again, affirmation. It brings confirmation of a word that God might have spoken years ago. But God will come along again and remind you of the promise often. And so we need to, again, we need to be able to hear clearly what God is saying. Another point I want to make here is we need to be Holy Spirit sensitive, not seeker sensitive. Much of the church has flip-flopped to where now we are trying to please man, find out what the crowds want, going around doing surveys, finding out what people want, as if that should be the watermark, you know, or the standard by which we operate our churches. And many churches are literally operating according to the standards that people in the community have set for them and not the Word of God. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Whatever you say, Lord. I don't care if the entire crowd disagrees. If God says it's right, it's right. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. And Jesus said, you know, those who are of the truth will love the truth. They'll receive the truth. And that's why, you know, we've gathered tonight is because you do love God. You do love the truth. You can't say you love God and not love his word. And how many know you can't separate the spirit from the word? Well, I know what the Bible says, but I feel this way about it. Mistake right there. Watch out from that thing. Because the Spirit agrees. The Word and the Spirit are one. They agree. So you don't separate. You can't separate that. We careful of your feelings. They can mislead you. We live by truth, and the Holy Spirit agrees with the Word perfectly. Matthew 16 and 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am?" And so they said, and I preached on this a few weeks ago, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now you're following this, right? The some sayers. So often the crowd will be controlled by what others are saying. They will usually pick an opinion, you know, based upon what they're hearing from this group or that group, and they'll choose a group to be with. Have you ever done that? I have. I think I'll hang out with this group for a while. I'm trying to discover who I am, so I'll hang out with that group for a while. That didn't work. Well, I'll hang out with that group for a while. That didn't work. Come on. The some sayers, right? And then some Elijah, others Jeremiah. But then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And then, of course, we know Simon, the outspoken one, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus answer and said? "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Who was hearing the voice of God here? Peter. He wasn't going by what everybody else said. He was hearing the voice of God. Do you hear that? See the difference? And if Christians aren't careful, we become chameleons and we'll start going with every other voice and what others are saying. And when we're with this crowd, we're like that. And when we're with that crowd, we're like that. But God says, listen to my voice and you will be successful. Listen to my voice and you will be blessed. Listen to my voice and you will have life and life more abundantly, because I came to give you life. And it's my voice that is life to you. He's our food. Amen? He's the living bread. The living bread spoke life. And we partake of his life through what he speaks to us. And his word is always life-giving. You'll know when you're being quickened by the word. Amen? We go by the voice of God. What does he say? Again, sometimes, well, it felt right at the time. I've talked to some people, and they're obviously way off course, you know, doctrinally. And they said, "Well, it feels right to me." All right. Enter Moses. Moses, God raised up, didn't he? What did he raise him up to do? To deliver his people out of Egypt, out of bondage. Now, Moses spoke, it says he spoke face to face with God as with a friend. He was very intimate. He knew God's voice. Moses did not rely upon his opinion, folks. He knew better. "God, I can't go without you. And who do I even say sent me?" You just read it tonight. Tell him that I am sent you. He has a name. I am the living bread. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the first and the last. Amen. So the I Am sent Moses, and he heard the voice of the I Am, and he wasn't going to adopt an opinion as to what would be a better idea than what God had. He said, "I better listen very carefully here, because what God is telling me to do, I can't do. It's impossible for us to do what God has called us to do. And so the only way to do it is to hear an instruction from God and do that instruction, even where it sometimes means you got to step down to step up. But you know the peace of God is directing you in a certain way. It says it doesn't really make sense right now, but I got to listen to what God says. Even if it's not popular, I got to listen to what God says." And so in Numbers chapter 16, book of Numbers 16, verse 1, I just want to read a little bit of this. Korah, Dathan, Abiram opposed Moses regarding the Lord's instruction and promise. Now, Moses was not going to be swayed by them. He stayed true to the Lord, even when he had people opposing him. Now, as soon as God gives us an instruction, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have opposition to it. You're going to have people try to talk you out of the will of God. Now, they usually are good people. They have good intention, but sometimes they don't realize it, but they can be a vessel that the enemy uses to try to get you shipwrecked and get you off course. God will speak to you. He'll tell you something clearly, and then all of a sudden other voices start to enter into the picture. Are you with me? And then you start to get a little bit of confusion going on. Well, was I really hearing God? Or, well, maybe this is God, which way is it? And you go back to God, and God says, I told you what to do. Okay. And then you start to go offering, and all of a sudden the other voices start to come again. Are you with me? To try to get you off track. Now, these voices were opposing him. And obviously, Moses was the one that heard the voice of God, knew the voice of God, knew God intimately. And these guys, they come against him. And they started to influence a lot of the people as well, by the way. And they started to listen to these other voices too. And so God told them, I want you to separate from them. And judgment fell on these rebellious ones. And in verse 12, it also talks about Dathan and Abiram, how they scolded Moses, you know. They were sarcastically complaining to Moses. They were saying, listen to this, that you brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, when they're in bondage, they're like, man, this life is not good here. Let me just, come on. They were, you know that they were miserable. Just like we were miserable in the world. And how quickly we can forget sometimes. Miserable. In bondage, no freedoms, a slave to whatever Pharaoh wanted, the devil, you know. And then these guys that start to speak into their life, God gives an instruction, God starts to lead them in the right path, and then all of a sudden these other voices enter into the picture, and they start saying stuff like, you know what? You brought us out of the land of milk and honey, Egypt. And not only that, you brought us into a land that is not flowing with milk and honey, the desert. Now, if God promises a land flowing with milk and honey, it's good. It's a good promise. You can take it to the bank. God's going to take care of it. Amen? Now, what they didn't realize was the desert was part of the process. They weren't banking on that. They were thinking instant from here to there. And, you know, we get impatient sometimes, don't we? We don't want the process. We want events. If I can just go to another revival, if I can just get another tape or CD. What's a tape, right? How does this relate to me, right? Don't listen to those voices that would cause you to disbelieve. Or question what God is saying. And let me just tell you this, folks. And I know this, and I want to be careful how I say this. But don't hang too tight with people who don't believe what you believe. I'm not saying that you completely come out of the world and become a separatist. Jesus didn't teach us that. But he did talk about being careful. Amen. Jesus would not commit himself to any man because he knew what was in them. And Jesus would not allow the devil to have any place in him. So he was very careful. What Jesus did is what the Father showed him to do. If Jesus was told by the Father to go hang out with these sinners and talk to them about the kingdom, Jesus did that. But he just didn't go hang out with sinners because he wanted to hang out with sinners. Are you with me? He loved on people, so he went to be with the people so he could reach them. Because we can't reach people in the world if we're not with the people of the world. Hello? Yeah. And we do have some groups that go to the extreme and they completely separate themselves from the people of the world. And the people of the world are on their way to hell. And we have the answer. We're the ones with a life preserver. And the responsibility, absolutely. But what did Paul say about it? And I want to read to you from the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 6 and 11. He said, listen, just would you listen? Oh, dear Christian or Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you and our hearts are open to you. What he means by that is that they did not mix words. They were not intellectually dishonest with people. They were just, they said, this is the reality, okay? We're going to tell you the way it is. Because we love you enough to tell you. Sometimes we sugarcoat stuff or we're so afraid of offending people that we're actually strengthening their hands to go and do more wickedness. Because we don't tell them straight, this is yes and this is no. You don't negotiate with your children, right, when they're messing up. You got to tell them, no, that's not right. Yes, that is right. He said, oh, dear Corinthian friends, we've spoken honestly with you and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. You know, Paul said in another place, the more that I love, the less that I'm loved. Sometimes just being truthful, even doing it in the right spirit, amen, with a heart of love, it has repercussions. Sometimes people are not going to like you. Initially. There's people that spoke into my life that I did not like initially. And then later on I began to realize, you know what, I guess they were right after all. And I'm glad somebody told me the truth. Yeah, I said some nasty things about them then, but now I'm praising them for what they did. He says, I'm asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Okay. So what is he saying here? It's pretty clear, isn't it? The King James says, do not be unequally yoked. Talking about marriage covenants, business covenants, relationships that are such that you're hitched, in the sense, you're joined to the hip with the person. Even, folks, I want to tell you, best buds. There are many young people that have best buds. They get saved. They start to walk with Jesus. Their best bud don't want anything to do with Jesus. And they continue to be best buds. And guess what? The best bud starts working on them. We need to choose our friends carefully. And I'll tell you a quick testimony. When I got saved, I got born again in my bedroom. And I came out of that place. It's like, wow. You know, I went back to the band that I was with, you know, doing all the stuff the rock bands do. And I started right away. I couldn't help it. I just started talking about Jesus. The best thing that ever happened in my life. And I found out, not only from them, but all the other people that I knew, how many real friends I had. Yeah. A real friend loves at all times, even when they know what you're really like. It doesn't mean you need to scrap all your friends, but I've discovered that when I started walking and living for Jesus, I lost a lot of so-called friends, and I discovered that they were actually not real friends anyways. Yeah. They were what you call fair-weather friends. Yeah. You know, a friend with weed is a friend. That was the lie. And you know what? I have discovered in the body of Christ a family, a love, a people that, you know, for the most part, you still have to be careful. You need to develop a relationship and know those who labor among you, as Paul said. Know one another. Amen. Below the surface, not just the friendly church smile, but the person. But I have discovered that the most trustworthy people are the people of God. There are people that I can entrust my life to. in the body of Christ. People that truly will look out for my best interests. And I hope you know that's true of me also. We're not playing at this thing. We're the real thing. We're the authentic. We've been born of God. We're His family, born of His Spirit. And real friends, even in the church, are friends that will love you at all times. Even when you blow it, they'll still love you. Even when they discover, oh, you're not perfect. And you know, the wounds of a friend are faithful. So they'll also speak into your life when you get off course. And it, ouch, sometimes it hurts. But a friend loves you enough to tell you the truth. God told Solomon not to intermarry with the women of the nations who did not know him. So what did he do? He went out and married lots and lots of women. He loved many foreign women. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And what does it say? Solomon clung to these in love. What was he doing? He was listening to too many voices. He did not stay true to the voice of truth, the voice of the Lord. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, listen, when Solomon was old, this is the guy who had wisdom and wealth like no one ever. And that God used in such a mighty way in building the beautiful temple of Solomon. But his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. Why did the Holy Spirit put this in Scripture? So that we would be wise today, for our admonition today, that we would look at it and say, you know what? I don't want to follow that example. What was it? Where did he get off course? He got off course when he started listening to the crowd. He started listening to other voices. He started listening to his friends. And it says that his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. And whenever we attempt to build our lives on that, listen, which we think is best, and not on what God says, we are building our lives on sand. I'm going to say it again. Whenever we attempt to build our lives on that which we think is best and not on what God says, we're building our lives on sand. Yes, you may have what appears to be a structure for a season. And there will be even those who may have had everything that the world had to offer. But Jesus said it very clearly. What would a man profit if he were to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And so human beings were subject to very many voices today, but we've got to choose the voice of God over all those voices. And even when the crowd is saying yes and God says no, we have to say no. There's a price to pay for being obedient to Christ. And if you're going to suffer, amen, don't suffer for being evil, but suffer for the good, amen, because you obeyed the voice of God. In Luke 6 and 47, Jesus said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, he didn't say if. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But if we listen to his voice, our souls will prosper, and the blessings of God from faithful Abraham will come upon us, and the things that we need, he will take care of, just like he promised. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first things first, and all these things will be added unto you. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently for him. because in due season, what you have coming will return to you. Isn't that true? And we have to be patient in the process. But what God promises, He will do, even if it means 20-something years later. And I want to finish with this verse, Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Precious, precious word. Precious word of God. And through what's written in this book, we come to know Him personally, to know the living word. And when He speaks and He gives us an instruction, He gives us direction in life, we'll know His voice and we won't listen for any other voice. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep don't listen to the wolf. They hear my voice. They're not going to follow another shepherd.